The Ag and Natural Resources Appropriation Subcommittee will now come to order. Kiva, will you please call the roll?
Chair Altman.
Here.
Vice Chair Bell is excused. Ranking Member Chambliss.
Here.
Representatives Abbott.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Cassell.
Here.
Cross.
Here.
Gossett Seidman.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez.
Here.
Overdorff.
Yes, ma'am.
Trunau.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Kiva. The reminder we do every committee, turn your cell phones off or vibrate, all electronic devices. And anybody would like to address the committee, please fill out a form so we'll know who you are and who you're representing. Our agenda today, we have the Governor's Office of Policy and Budget here, along with the Department of Environmental Protection to go over the Governor's budget recommendations for fiscal year 2023 and 2024. Any questions from the committee before we begin? All right, let's begin. We'll move on. First, the presentation on the governor's recommended budget for fiscal year 2023-2024. Kim Kramer, Environmental Policy Coordinator, is here to present on behalf of the governor's office. And followed, we're very fortunate to have Secretary Sean Hamilton here from the Department of Environmental presentation. Okay, Kim.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair Altman and members of the committee. My name is Kim Kramer. I'm the Environmental Policy Coordinator for Governor Ron DeSantis. It is my privilege today to present the environmental portion of the Governor's Framework for Freedom budget. Joining me today is Secretary Sean Hamilton, who will talk about some of the Department of Environmental Protection's major initiatives included in the Governor's budget recommendation. I want to thank my staff as well as agency staff for all the hard work that went into putting together these recommendations. We look forward to working with you and your committee in developing this year's budget. The Governor's Office of Policy and Budget Environmental Unit, the agencies contained in this recommendation include the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the Department of Citrus, Department of Environmental Protection, and Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. These charts represent an overall picture of the Framework for Freedom budget, broken down by policy area. The first pie chart includes both general revenue and trust funds, of which over $6.6 billion, or 5.8% of the recommended budget, is dedicated to the environmental agencies. The second pie chart is specifically general revenue, which is over $561 million for the environment. It should be noted that even though the governor has recommended a significant investment in our environment, the agencies within the environmental area are largely funded through trust funds and therefore make up a small portion of the overall general revenue included in the governor's budget recommendation. Governor DeSantis's Framework for Freedom budget reinforces the governor's steadfast commitment to environmental protection by recommending over $6.6 billion to the environment. These funds are largely split between the Department of Environmental Protection with over 50% and the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services with 40%. In addition, the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission makes up about 8% and the Department of Citrus about 1% of the overall environmental budget. I will now hand it over to Secretary Hamilton to discuss DEP's portion of the proposed budget. Following the Secretary's part, I will highlight a few other issues before we conclude. Secretary Hamilton.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning, Chair and committee members. As noted, I'm Sean Hamilton, Secretary for the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. As you well know, the state's lead agency for the stewardship of our environment, most importantly, protecting our air, water, and land resources. To support these efforts for the coming fiscal year, I'm happy to be here today to present DEP's portion of FY23-24 Framework for Freedom budget. Upon taking office in 2019, through Executive Order 19-12, Governor DeSantis called for $2.5 billion to be invested over 4 years for the protection of our water resources. With the support of this legislature, we surpassed that investment with a $3.3 billion in dedicated funding. Just last month, as the governor began his second term, he issued Executive Order 23-06, which calls for $3.5 billion to be invested in Everglades restoration and Florida's water resources over the next 4 years, surpassing the investments of the previous 4 years and making it the highest level of environmental funding in Florida's history. This funding commitment is reflected in the Framework for Freedom budget, which will support strategic action that will continue our momentum and enhance our ongoing efforts to expedite critical Everglades restoration projects, employ sound science to protect and restore our waterways, and fund infrastructure projects to improve water quality and safeguard Florida's water supply. The Framework for Freedom budget dedicates nearly $615 million to continue expediting Everglades restoration through sound science project collaboration, including more than $478 million for the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan, or SERP, including the EA Reservoir and Restoration Strategies. More than $81 million for the Northern Everglades and Estuaries Protection Plan and Dispersed Water Management, which is water storage in our basins. $50 million for the Lake Okeechobee Watershed Restoration Project. It also includes $370 million for targeted water quality improvements, such as improved infrastructure and reduced nutrients in our waterways. This includes $200 million for cost share grants for water quality improvements, $100 million for septic conversions and upgrades, other wastewater improvements, and rural and urban stormwater system upgrades to support restoration of the Indian River Lagoon. $50 million to accelerate projects to meet scientific nutrient reduction goals called total maximum daily loads, which may include green infrastructure investments or land conservation to protect our water resources, and $20 million for wastewater and stormwater projects that address water quality impairments and coral reef restoration in Biscayne Bay. In addition, there is $50 million for springs restoration and $50 million for alternative water supply to meet Florida's future water supply needs. There's $60.8 million to combat harmful algal blooms and red tide that have harmful environmental and economic impacts in our communities, and $4.2 million in funding for FWC for continued support of red tide research activities. 2 years ago, Governor DeSantis championed the passage of the Resilient Florida Grant Program, which enhances our efforts to protect our communities from flooding and sea level rise. The Framework for Freedom budget invests $406 million for coastal resiliency and $156 million for beach restoration, including fully funding DEP's Hurricane Ian and Nicole's recovery plan for Florida's beach and dune system. The Framework for Freedom budget includes $194.5 million for the cleanup of contaminated sites. This funding will allow DEP to continue its progress in assessing and remediating contaminant sites and ensure our communities are safe from the impacts of historic releases and sources of pollution that can affect our land and water and threaten public health. Specific investments include $180 million for petroleum tanks cleanup, $9 million for dry cleaning solvent contaminated site cleanup, $5.5 million for hazardous waste contaminated site cleanup. Because of the legislature's continued support investment in land acquisition and management, the Florida State Parks, we are able to expand public access, enhance visitor experience, and increase tourism and improve the health of environmental resources. The Framework for Freedom budget calls for $100 million for the Florida Forever Program, the state's premier conservation and recreation land acquisition program. This includes $15 million for the Florida's Community Trust Program, or FCT, which provides grant funding to local governments and eligible nonprofit environmental organizations for the acquisition of community-based parks, open space, and greenways that further outdoor recreation and natural resource protection needs. Then there's $10 million for the Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, or FRDAP, which provides competitive recreational grants to local governments for the acquisition and or development of land for public outdoor recreation, and $45 million for state park infrastructure improvements and resource management, with the goal of maintaining this high standard, ensuring all visitors and residents alike have access to these prized properties for generations to come. That concludes my portion of the presentation, so now I'll turn it back over to Kim to conclude.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary Hamilton. I'll continue with just a few more highlights of the Framework for Freedom budget. Within the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, the governor's budget recommends an additional $32.5 million in support of law enforcement operations. This includes $16.9 million for 41 new law enforcement officers and investigators to increase patrols in state parks, wildlife management areas, and popular boating and fishing spots. Also includes $13.5 million to replace aging patrol vehicles and vessels. The governor recommends $4 million for the control of non-native species, including over $2.6 million for the removal of priority non-native wildlife species in Florida, including iguanas, tegus, and pythons. $1.3 million for population control and assessment of the Burmese python to determine if removal efforts are making a difference. The governor also recommends $15 million for the Apalachicola oyster restoration projects. $5 million of this is in federal funds from Deepwater Horizon for phase two of the Appalachia Bay oyster restoration project, which involves a large-scale 1,000-acre oyster restoration effort. In addition, the governor is recommending $10 million from general revenue to expand these restoration efforts to include an additional 1,000 acres. The governor's recommendation also includes $8.4 million for boating improvements, which include channel marking, repairs of public launching facilities, and other activities to improve boating safety and increase access. The governor also recommends $29.4 million for the citrus industry, which includes $8 million for the Citrus Research and Development Foundation. This is to search for solutions to citrus greening and citrus canker disease. $8.4 million for the Citrus Health and Health Response Program to survey the citrus groves for pests and disease. And $15 million for the continuation of the e-commerce and digital marketing program to increase awareness of the health benefits and the premium quality of Florida citrus. In addition, the Framework for Freedom budget includes $24.4 million for forestry operations and maintenance, specifically $11.5 million for the replacement of wildfire suppression equipment for the Florida Forest Service, $9.7 million for infrastructure repairs, including facility maintenance and road and bridge repairs, and $3.2 million for renovations of forestry stations. Thank you for the opportunity to present the environmental portion of Governor Ron DeSantis's Framework for Freedom budget. At this time, the Secretary and I will take any questions related to the governor's recommended budget.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to open it up for questions. Representative Hart, Representative Killebrew. Yes, Ranking Member Chambliss.
Thanks so much, Mr. Chair. And thank you, ma'am, for the presentation. We really, really appreciate it. It's always interesting, fun, and enlightening to have an opportunity to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the spending plan, especially when we're talking about agriculture, the environment, and our wildlife. I do know that my colleagues have a couple of questions, just clarification questions. And so I'm thinking we're going to go through a series of that. For me, one of the things that I'm interested in is the septic to sewer projects, that budget item that I noticed there. Are we seeing a continuous increase in that based on demand, or is that just, for example, compared to last year, maybe the last couple of years? And do we think that demand will get even higher in future years?
It's okay, Mr. Chair. I'm going to defer to the Secretary. Let him address that issue.
Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the question. As it relates to the systems, obviously, there's two universes, right? There's the existing systems we know to represent direct threat to water bodies. And so we've prioritized those in our efforts for replacement. And there's still a large universe of those to tackle. And so you'll see continued funding and you'll see continued prioritization to tackle those first. But you'll also see, and you'll see it this year, you'll start to see policies that tries to make sure that any siting, any location, any technology used for those is also addressing the current universe that will continue to be developed. And so, yes, the answer to your question is demand, but the hope is as we get further along in this process, you'll start to see those two worlds come together. Yes, sir.
Yes, Representative Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, thank you all for the presentation. I noticed that are we actually eliminating 83 positions from the Division of Licensing?
Chair.
Yes.
Yes, we overall statewide, what we did was we eliminated the vacant positions within each of the agencies. We did not take the rate or the expense or salary that was associated with it. So all of those positions are vacant and have been vacant for over, I believe it was a year, 365 days.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you don't believe that we will need to go back and fill those now that COVID is over and we're going to kind of open up and be a little bit more robust?
Chair? No, we don't believe so.
Okay. One other question. Can you kind of explain to me, is there a $128 million cut in the Division of Forestry, especially since they're our first line for fire and all? Or is that something I just didn't quite understand in that cut?
I believe that cut probably is due to recurring projects. We did not make any cuts in what they requested in their LBR.
Representative Kilbrough, and then Representative Sell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Just a couple of real quick questions. Is there any money, I know the Apalachicola oyster restoration, is there anything in there for the clam farmers?
Go ahead.
Chair, I don't believe that there is. I think there's an ongoing project, the Billion Clams project, that is a member project that was funded this year. But I don't believe that there was a request to continue funding this year.
Is that something you could send me, whatever they're doing for the clam farmers in there? Because I know they're getting beat up pretty bad, too, for various things. One other thing was the restoration or money in there for the forestry stations. Is that towers or is that stations, ground-level stations?
It's for three new stations that they're constructing.
Is that ground level? I mean, is it buildings or is it towers?
I think it's both.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm a representative of Orgeldorf because he's in the back row back there, and I always don't hear him.
We won't take it personally, Chairman. if I could, I just have three questions, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead. And open colloquy here.
First of all, just a comment on the $4 million for non-native wildlife eradication. Thank you. Great start. We need more. And with the millions of non-natives that we have throughout our state and the proliferance of new python hunters, iguana hunters, et cetera, it would be great to get that as well as some additional monies for the nuisance alligator program. Some of those trappers have done such a great job, specifically in my region as well. So we'd love to see them getting a little bit more. A question for you on management of lands. I noticed that there's $45 million for state infrastructure for parks. Was wondering also about overall management combined with the purchase of land. We purchase these lands, they're in great shape. Sometimes we then have exotics come in, or the management isn't as fast. And so wondering about personnel for management as well as the cost for management and how you've addressed that.
Are you speaking specifically to state parks, that infrastructure?
State parks as well as preserved lands and looking at how we're dealing with the management associated with those lands.
I'm going to defer to the secretary again.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rep. So to your point, the question on exotics, it's a never-ending journey, right? And so with that in mind, right now, we take the funding. Our team over at State Parks, they look at the emerging needs, and they will take a portion of that $45 million and other infrastructure dollars and dedicate that to resource management. We also look for ways to partner with other agencies, other nonprofit entities that also do exotic management. And so, again, trying to leverage as much as we can in the way of resources, because candidly, that is a monumental issue that will continue to grow and continue to require a presence just to maintain a good footing. We also partner, obviously, with FWC, and we look at new ways to deploy any available technologies and research in that. But again, that's one of those where I think science and effort will continue to have to be brought to bear on it.
Mr. Secretary, while I have you, just wondering about your FTEs and for not only your overall staff, but for your permitting staff specifically, and wondering how that's going and if you need more.
Yes, sir. The legislative and the governor's office has been very supportive. If you think about it, especially if you think about permitting specifically as it relates to our 404, we've got 33 positions. You know, this current fiscal year, we got 17 a year before that. And so we're in a good spot on permitting side. It's just a matter of now getting them up trained, making sure we got good retention, make sure we're getting those positions filled as quick as possible. And so we're in a good spot on the permitting side. Like I said, it's just a matter of getting optimized and fully up to speed.
Thank you, sir. And on the retention side, I couldn't agree more. I know there's a lot of folks out there that you train them very well, and so they're snapped up by private industry.
Yes.
But thank you very much for that. And the final question, and I'm not sure if you're going to answer this or somebody else, but does the budget that is associated with monies for restoration specifically contemplate taking over any portion of the EAA reservoir from the Corps of Engineers, such as pumpage or other things like that, and so that we could expand and or more quickly complete that project south of the lake?
The current budget recommendations do not contemplate taking over that. No, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr.
Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hamilton, don't sit down. Turning to what's becoming my favorite topic of conversation this particular session with regards and following up on Ranking Member Chambliss's questions with regards to the septic sewer conversion, you mentioned really focusing on those high priority areas where we know, it's infiltrating and impacting our water related to BMAPs. But I'm a coastal district down in South Florida where we don't have that capability, and we're not connected to a BMAP, but 40% of one of my cities does have septic, and we know that is an infrastructure that we can't withstand. Does this $100 million give any consideration to cities or districts in those similar situations?
Sure. Yeah, so the answer to your question is yes. Right now, if you look at the governor's executive order and if you look at broadening our efforts to target not just BMAPs, but impaired waters who may not have a BMAP. So the expectation is you'll start seeing broader consideration of looking at our water bodies as a whole.
Follow up.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if this will be for you or for Ms. Kramer, but I have a question with regards to the hazardous waste portion of the budget. There's a dedicated $5.5 million. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and what the anticipated, if there are projects already in the sort of pipeline for that, or what's that for?
Are you talking, I could go back to the slides if you're talking about from the slides here. Okay. Are you talking here for hazardous waste contaminant site cleanup?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's already a developed list of sites relevant to that, to those programs. We can get that to you if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you please outline the areas of spending specifically as it pertains to water quality, water restoration assistance, and the water resource management? Where are the actual major increases from prior year spending with regards to those particular topics?
Chair, I think one of the things you'll see specifically for what I would consider one of the core programs, the wastewater program. You'll see that's increased up to 200 this year for a call for 200, and you'll see a call in executive order to broaden the applicability of that program, right? Looking at, again, talking about the impaired waterways, talking about stormwater that also contributes nutrients. And so I think that's one of the biggest changes you'll start to see is a broadening of the applicability of that program, not only in its target, but also in its areas of applicability.
Last one, Mr. Chair. Can you please explain the $80 million same-year appropriation for the South Florida Water Management District?
I'm sorry.
My understanding of reading the budget is there's an $80 million same-year appropriation for the South Florida Water Management District. I'm just curious as to what that money is earmarked for, if we know.
Yeah, I'll get you the detailed breakdown, but that should be targeted for operational components relevant to SERP and Everglades restoration.
Representative Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations on your reappointment, Secretary. Good to see you. I had a couple questions around the water quality improvements as well as some of the conservation funding. Going back to the water quality improvements, I saw a budget, a line item of $370 million. I've seen some estimates from the Florida Office of Economic and Demographic Research that suggest that for infrastructure upgrades for our wastewater treatment plants, that's around $80 billion. And for decentralized sewer, so some of our septic to sewer conversions, that's a little over $6 billion. So wondering, with a pot of money of $370 million, I know you mentioned looking at areas with BMAPs, but can you go into a little more specificity of on how we're going to target that money so it's reaching the highest priority projects and what we can do to increase that budget in the future?
So you're exactly right. Obviously the need is great and will be the case for some time if you consider the extent of infrastructure that needs to be upgraded and accounted for just across the state as a whole. But more importantly, if you think about using our waterways as the target, you know, as that key century point for looking at those impairments and those impacts from those systems and working backwards. Right now, you'll see the funding is definitely prioritizing. And as I mentioned, we're expanding the scope of that, right? Instead of waiting just for the BMAPs, let's look at, you know, systems that are, you know, causing degradation to impaired waterways. Let's broaden that. So obviously, get ahead of that. And so with that in mind, if you think about finding the best projects, and you mentioned this, right, let's find the best projects dollar for dollar that makes the difference. If you look globally at the billion-dollar number you just mentioned, are all of those projects the most pressing? Are those the ones that are going to give us the greatest improvement from the quickest, you know, recovery of our water bodies once they're online? Maybe not. But are they needed? Yes. And so if you think about a reasonable prioritization system that's going to yield those benefits, you're seeing funding that's targeted and makes sense in that regard.
Follow-up. Do you see that some of the impacts from Hurricanes Ian and Nicole, do you see that the state may be focusing more money on helping some of those areas recover based on some of the impacts to wastewater or stormwater systems there?
Yeah, if you'll see from the, you know, definitely if you saw recently from the 4A special session providing, you know, targeted funding just for those systems who may have some type of ongoing hazard, you know, just because, you know, they're running on what I would consider a system that is, you know, not quietly back to where it should be just from a structural perspective. And so 4A is allowing that grant process to allow those systems to take advantage to recover quicker. And so to answer your question, there will be a continued need, obviously, on the beaches side. You guys have been very supportive of that, and we've requested a full funding allocation to cover the beach side of it. But I venture to say wastewater will continue to be another one of those issues where we'll see the needs continue to develop.
Okay. And so going over to the conservation funding side, the past couple of years, I know many of us were celebrating because we had $300 million the past 2 years towards protection of the Florida Wildlife Corridor, both through Florida Forever and Rural and Family Lands, using some of our federal dollars. When the governor put out his executive order 2306, it simply mentioned that there would be full funding of Florida Forever. So I think many of us were hopeful that we would maintain that $300 million level. Looking at this budget, it has $75 million for the Florida Forever priority list and then $15 million for Florida Communities Trust, which is really, really valuable matching grant program. Can you explain why the request was only at that, you know, total $100 million? When we know that the funding for the Land Acquisition Trust Fund has been around $1 billion because of the high growth in our state?
Sure. I'll let Kim answer any questions about from the governor's budget perspective. But as far as Florida Forever is concerned, if you think about the previous year's allocation, if you think about getting that program back up to speed, I think we've seen in years past, it hasn't had the focus. And over, you think over the last 4 years, We've accomplished, you know, I would venture to say great things, right? I think we've acquired over 170,000 acres in just the last 4 years. And so if you think about the past allocations, building that momentum and starting to continue to have full confidence from not just the agency's perspective, but from those sellers, right, from those out there who have program interest of being a part of the projects. I think this number, and I think the previous years, will continue that momentum. Are there opportunities to increase that funding? I will definitely defer to the appropriators on that discussion point, but as it stands of making sure we maintain the momentum, $100 million is a good place to stay at a minimum and make sure that we have programmatic expectations of how to move that forward.
I'll just follow up. I'm going to always be advocating for more money for 300. I've seen that some of the agencies, Thousand Friends of Florida, is asking for $500 million. Yep. I think that's absolutely appropriate. And I'll also mention that Secretary Simpson was here last week, and he is ready to use every dollar that we give him. So I'd love to see the DEP be able to have the staffing and the capacity to handle $300 million and making sure that there's an adequate portion of that that goes to our Florida Communities Trust program as well.
Thank you for that. And with that in mind, you know, one of the things you'll see us, you'll see a request for us to expand that capability within the program to take advantage. And I think one of the things, if you look at our pipeline, we have a very robust pipeline as well. And so similar, what you'll start to see is, as with this predictive funding, you should see that pipeline start to increase. We've got about 359 in the pipeline. You will start to see that pipeline expand, and so we'll start looking, you'll start seeing 600, 700 million in that pipeline. Again, once that programmatic consistency gets in place, once we're able to give a predictive outlay to our willing sellers out there, you'll see that expand over time.
Yeah, yes, and let me go back. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, Secretary, thank you for your service and congratulations on your reappointment.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm wondering about the Florida Fish and Wildlife officers and their pay salary and how it might compare to state and municipal and county officers. And is there anything in the budget with regards to increases or how that is?
I'll defer to Ms. Kramer. Sir.
Thank you.
Yes, the positions that we're recommending in our budget, there's 35 officers and 6 investigators, and the fish and wildlife officers are included in the governor's recommendation for the pay increase for law enforcement. I believe that the starting salary is, the governor's recommending 55. I believe currently fish and wildlife is 50. Looking for my lifeline. Yes, it's currently 50.
Thank you. And a follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm just wondering if that would be applied exponentially. In other words, those, you know, currently in service would be compensated in terms of advanced pay increases also, you're saying?
Yes, Representative. That is contemplated in the governor's recommended budget.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions? Do I see any? Oh, yes, Representative Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is around the springs restoration. In my water quality on yesterday, we need probably $100 million minimum to get started. Is there any thought to maybe increasing the springs restoration budget? Because our springs are all dying, and we really need more money. So is that something you all might go back and look at?
Certainly.
Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Is the bill, the proposed HB 5B, included in the allocation for transportation on slide 3? No, we have the transportation and economic development. If the proposed HB 5 passed during the special session, is that going to be included in that amount?
I'm not sure about that, but we can get back to you on that.
Okay. So I have another question because I think is maybe after you, you know, you find the answer to the question, because do we have to give authority to the governor to transport people that are not even in Florida through that budget?
I believe that would be included in transportation economic development budget. It doesn't relate to the environmental budget that we're presenting today.
But it's not. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Ranking Member Chambliss.
Thank you again, and thank you for entertaining our questions and our desire to clarify a couple of points. I did want to end with talking a little bit about the citrus industry and the funding for that. Just wanted... I saw that there were some designated pieces there, but I know that I've been hearing from them, you know, over the past several months with the concerns, and we all know how important that is to our economy here in Florida overall. How did we get to those particular numbers? Is the citrus industry, you know, are they satisfied with that? Do we think that they need more, and maybe we should, that should be something that's continuous? For example, where did we get those particular numbers from?
Those numbers were what were provided, Department of Citrus, and some of these funds are in DAC's budget. It's what they asked for in their LBR, so we recommended that in our budget to pick those up. I know that, you know, there are a lot of new issues pertaining to the storms that came through. And I think that we'll probably see a bigger request maybe from them in their amended LBR.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? See, I have a couple or a few. In relation to land acquisition, they're showing Florida's becoming very popular. We are the fastest growing state in the union. Our population will be close to 40 million people, or 30 million people by 2040. So 17 years, 40 million people. It's about 17 million more, maybe 16 million more people than we have now. So those people are going to need water plants, sewer plants, roads, schools, shopping centers, strip malls, cemeteries, hospitals, and on and on and on. Do you think $100 million a year is enough to meet the needs of that kind of population growth?
Chair, $100 million is what we recommended in our budget. Certainly happy to entertain more than that. We just used looking at the pipeline and what the current situation was, but I agree with you. There is a need for more.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. A question I have on the... septic the sewer program, and I do appreciate the willingness, and what you guys have done in the past has been fantastic, and we hope we can continue that momentum. The septic to sewer program, what percentage of that money that we're spending do you anticipate to be matched, to be paid for by local governments or landowners, or is that going to be borne mostly by the taxpayers? Actually using some of our conservation money to build septic, you know, build sewer systems for people.
I'm going to defer to the secretary again.
Well, I think that's part of it too. On the backside, if you think about the appropriation, you know, what's the desire? What's that match expectation as appropriators and are from a recommendation that you guys suggest right now? Obviously, where we have the opportunity, we do solicit and ask for matching grants, and we weigh and rank that. But the thought process would be to maximize those investments, but also get local community and municipal investment in those same projects. So at the end of the day, it depends on the expectation from you guys as appropriators of what you want that match to look like.
I appreciate that. You know, our utilities have the ability to bond. They have the ability to have user rates. They have the ability to do economic analysis over decades of use. Not bore the put the cost of those infrastructure improvements on immediate resources, and I hope we can maximize contributions.
Yes, sir.
And we'll work with you as we move forward. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to be here, and we're looking forward to working with the governor's office. He certainly has already built a great legacy for environmental conservation. He has really been a shining star and a fresh breath there for the state of Florida. Really excited about many of the things that he's doing, and we're looking forward to working with you over the next session to build this budget.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, back to business here. So, is there any other business that the committee would like to bring before the committee now? And if not, Representative Hart moves we rise, and without objection, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.